The Housing Finance and Policy Committee will come to order, and I will note this meeting is taking place under House Rule 10.01. Ms. Hirsch, please take the roll.
Chair Houseman?
Present.
Houseman, present. Vice Chair Howard?
Present.
Howard, present. Representative Tice?
Tice, present.
Tice, present. Representative Egbuaje?
Present.
Egbuaje, present. Representative Bliss?
Present.
Bliss, present. Representative Gomez?
Present.
Gomez, present. Representative Hassan?
Hassan is here.
Hassan, present. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, present.
Heinrich, present. Representative Herr?
Present.
Herr, present. Representative Juergens?
Juergens, present.
Juergens, present. Representative Olson?
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Barr?
Barr, present.
Barr, present. And Representative Ryer?
Ryer, present.
Ryer, present. And Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The next item of business is approval of the minutes from Thursday, March 17. Representative Howard, have you had a chance to review those minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move the minutes.
Members, any corrections? Seeing none, please unmute yourselves for a voice vote. All those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. The first bill on the agenda is House File 3367, chief authored by Representative Moran. The chair moves that House File 3367 be laid over. Representative Moran, welcome to the committee. Before you begin, you do have an author's amendment. Would you like to have the A2 amendment adopted before proceeding with your presentation?
Yes, Madam Chair, please.
The chair moves the A2 amendment to get the bill in the author's desired shape. Would you briefly explain your amendment?
Okay, give me one moment to find the details. Okay. So the A2 amendment changes the language. So instead of appropriating language in 2023 in this fiscal, this coming fiscal year, and in 2024, we are asking for the full $1 million in appropriation in the fall of 2023. And to be available until June the 20th of 2023 instead of 2024. This makes the bill language more conventional as it doesn't spread out the appropriation over two different biennials.
Good morning.
Questions to the amendment? I don't see any questions. All those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Moran, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm sorry I won't be on camera. I'm having some technical pieces in. So this is the best I can do right now. But I want to thank you, Madam Chair and members, for being able to present this bill today. House File 3367 is a bill brought by Model Cities. Model City is a housing entity that has been around since the late 60s, from homelessness to transitional housing to home ownership. They are doing this work. Model City's mission is to provide social and economic prosperity by providing access to opportunities that stabilize and develop families and communities. Model City's roots dates back to the 1960 era of community empowerment. It was first created in 1967 by members of the St. James AME Church to remedy health access issues among low-income residents of St. Paul Summit University neighborhoods. It's located right on the Green Line at the Victoria Station on University Avenue in the capital city. Today, Model Cities has several programs in which you will hear from the CEO of Model Cities, who will talk about those programmings and other things. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Moran. We have some testifiers. Kizzy Downey, the CEO of Model Cities of St. Paul, Incorporated. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Houseman. Kizzy Downey, CEO of Model Cities of St. Paul.
Please proceed.
All right. Greetings, Chair Houseman and members of the committee. My name is Kizzy Downey. I am the CEO of Model Cities of St. Paul, a private nonprofit organization created in 1967. Our mission is to promote social and economic prosperity by providing access to opportunities that develop and stabilize families and communities. For over 55 years, Model Cities has worked to strengthen the economic and social fabric of the local community through our work in the areas of homelessness, home ownership, youth services, and real estate development. In addition to our work as a community developer, we also provide a continuum of housing services that includes overnight emergency shelter, supportive housing for families who've experienced homelessness, housing for those who are living at or below 50% of the area median income. We are also a HUD-approved housing counseling agency and provides home buyer education and counseling services for those who are looking to purchase their first home. Much of our work over the years has been focused on reducing disparities in housing, particularly for Black households and other households of color. Last year, we provided services to nearly 2,000 individuals, with about 70% of those identifying as Black Indigenous people of color. Despite the many efforts that Model Cities and other agencies have made to provide more housing opportunities to help eliminate many of these disparities, Black households and other households of color are still disproportionately impacted by a lack of access to safe and affordable housing. The full investment and support of our state is needed to eliminate these gaps, and an increase in resources are needed to help build the capacity of businesses, of BIPOC developers, to help increase housing production across the state. As you will hear in future comments, capacity building within the network of developers and nonprofit lenders is critical to the success of this work. We need to invest in the infrastructure of the network providing many of these housing services in order to expand their capacity to do more. The time is now to work together to help close the racial gaps in housing and home ownership in the state of Minnesota. And we hope that the state will invest in Model Cities in order to create the housing opportunities that are needed to meet many of the critical needs in our local community. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're joined also by Diana Shelby, a resident of Model Cities. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Greetings, Chair and Hausman, members of the committee. My name is Diana, and I'm a resident at one of the Model City housing properties. My family and I have lived in our home in Model City since 2016. Prior to living here, we experienced a period where we did not have a stable house, a place to live. Not only was the experience challenging for me as an individual, but it was also hard for me as a mother because my children did not have a place to call home. I'm originally from Minnesota and grew up here in St. Paul. This is where my family connections are, and I want my children to have the same connections. Finding affordable housing with supportive services at Model Cities here in St. Paul has been a major blessing because it has helped me create stability for my family and allowed me to stay connected to my roots. My family looking for permanent housing, Model Cities should be at the top of the list. Supporting families is what Model Cities is all about. Not once, but twice, they supported me and my family, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for considering an investment to support Model Cities so they can create more housing and help other families move homeless to stability. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We're also joined by Angel Stuckey, also a resident of Model Cities. Welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Greetings, Chair Hausman and members of the committee. My name is Angel Stuckey, and I'm a resident at Model Cities Housing Properties. My family and I have resided in our home at Model City since February 8, 2015. Before living here, we experienced homelessness. This was mainly due to domestic violence and the fact that I had a felony, and no landlords or programs wanted to give me a chance. This experience was challenging for me, but it was also hard on my children because they went through the whole homeless experience with me. Since gaining access to housing that I can afford, I have been able to pay off my restitution so that I'm no longer a felon. I am almost done with my associate in chemistry. And because of the grants that Model Cities was able to obtain, I also lost over 100 pounds since I've been here. gaining access to affordable housing with supportive services has truly helped create stability for me and my family, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for considering an investment in support Model Cities by creating more housing that would give our family and other families the opportunity to work on their goals and ensure their children are safe and happy as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, questions for the testifiers or the bill author? I see Rena Moran had to step away. Representative Moran had some conflicting overlapping obligations, so I'm not sure she's still on. But
I'm still here if need be.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw you disappear for just a minute.
Yeah.
Members, are there questions for the testifiers or the bill author? I'll give a few minutes for hands raised. I don't see any hands raised. You were so complete in telling your story.
Thank you.
I think we have no questions. So, Representative Moran, final comments on the bill.
Well, Madam Chair, members, we are in this time and moment and continue to be in a housing crisis. Stabilizing families with wraparound services and support is greatly needed. Model Cities has been a model for over 50 plus years in really stepping to the forefront and creating opportunities, building partnerships, and stabilizing families, not only in St. Paul, but families that come from across the state of Minnesota. So I just want to thank you for this opportunity to bring this bill before you, and I do ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Moran. House File 3367, as amended, is laid over. The next bill on the agenda is House File 3620, chief authored by Representative Eklund. The chair moves that House File 3620 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Eklund, welcome to the committee. You also have an author's amendment for your bill. Would you like to have the A2 adopted before you proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That would be preferable.
So the chair moves the A2 amendment to get the bill in the author's desired shape. Would you briefly speak to your amendment, Representative Eklund?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A2 amendment just simply states that the qualified person is someone that has received the required continuing education training for this bill.
Any clarifying questions on the amendment, members? If not, if you unmute yourselves, all those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Eklund, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Housing Committee. The bill addresses Minnesota's shortage of licensed manufactured home installers. Currently, there's approximately 70 licensees in the state that are available to complete both new manufactured home installations and used home installations. By allowing Minnesota's approximately 11,000 licensed residential building contractors to install used and manufactured homes upon completion of 3 hours of approved continuing education related to manufactured home installation. And Madam Chair, members, I have with me today Mr. Mark Bruner, President of the Minnesota Manufactured Home Association, that can further discuss the details of this bill.
Mark Bruner, President of the Manufactured Modular Homes, welcome back to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Mark Bruner, a President of the Manufactured Modular Home Association of Minnesota. The MMHA was established in 1951 and represents manufactured modular home builders in Minnesota, manufactured home installers, as well as model home sales centers, and speaks for the nearly 1,000 licensed privately owned manufactured home communities. I'd like to thank Chair Eklund for bringing the bill addressing the shortage of manufactured home installers. He mentioned there about 70-some licensees in the state right now. That's compared to just over a few hundred that we had six, 7 years ago. And they're required to install new manufactured homes on a permanent foundation. However, in Minnesota, they're also the only ones right now that can install used manufactured homes. So the intent of the bill is to allow any of the 11,000 currently licensed residential contractors to take a three-hour course that's recognized by the department and HUD to then secure labels necessary to install a used manufactured home. So ideally what it will do is free up those licensed installers who right now are having to are doing used homes as well as new homes and to focus more on the new home installations. Minnesota's four plants are currently running at maximum capacity. And one of the issues they have right now when a home is ready to be sited is the shortage of installers to do the installation. So in that regard, the bill goes a long way, we think, in helping address the shortage of installers. And the other provision in the bill simply allows, in addition to a HUD label being affixed to a home to determine the age of a manufactured home, that you could also use what's called a data plate to determine the age of a home. And this relates to something called a notice of compliance form, which is essentially the standard for any used home that's sold that it has to meet relative to life and safety. So it's just adding one additional identifier in determining the age of the home. We worked with the department on the bill and appreciate their suggestions that included the three-hour course for contractors. But it's pretty straightforward. And again, thank Chair Eklund for bringing the bill.
Members, before we get to questions, I want to note that we do have Charlie Durenberger with the Department of Labor and Industry to answer any technical questions should that be necessary. Having said that, do we have any questions for the testifier or the bill author? I'll give a few minutes for the hands up function. Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious, what kind of a backlog is there currently on these siting or installations of the homes? Is it because of having a limited number of people that are qualified or licensed to do it? I would assume that there's a waiting period, and I'm just kind of curious of what that looks like.
Is that to Mr. Bruner or the author? Whichever of you wants to take
it. Okay, sure, Madam Chair, Mark Bruner. The backlog, I mean, essentially right now we're looking at months if someone were to order a new home, and then relative to when that home could be installed, finding the installer, we'll add additional time, enough time anyway, that it could interfere with setting a closing date and that kind of thing. So, we could be looking at weeks in terms of a delay.
Follow up, Representative Juergens.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I thought, Mr. Bruner. Thank you. So by passing this bill, it would provide more installers, and like you said, in some cases, currently it might hinder or delay or even make a closing not happen. So this will help get people into homes sooner than if we don't pass this.
Yes. Thank you.
Anything further, Representative Juergens?
No, thank you.
Representative Tice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank both Representative Eklund and I think Representative Heinrichs on the bill as well, and Mr. Bruner on finding some ways that we can work together and get these things done and not have to just always complain about the work shortage and not getting things done. So thank you very much. It's a pleasure to support this, and I'm sure a lot of my builder colleagues will just really enjoy being part of the conversation rather than kept out of it. So thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Representative Eklund, final comments on the bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members. I think this bill will go a long ways to help us find some ways to relieve our housing crises and problems that we're having in the state if we can get more contractors that are able to move of these homes and set them. So I appreciate the time and I appreciate the support, Madam Chair.
All right. I'm just checking once more before we proceed to a vote. Thank you, Representative Eklund. The Chair renews her motion that House File 3620, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. Ms. Hirsch, please take the roll.
Chair Houseman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard?
Aye.
Representative Tice?
Aye.
Representative Egbadje?
Aye.
Representative Bliss?
Bliss, aye.
Representative Gomez?
Gomez, aye.
Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, aye.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Jurgens?
No, the success of the Solar on Schools program.
Jurgens, aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Farr?
Farr, aye.
And Representative Breyer?
Aye.
Madam Chair, there are 13 ayes and zero nays.
How do you?
There are 13 ayes and zero nays. The motion prevails and House File 3620 as amended is passed to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Eklund. I think
thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we still have somebody that's not muted or has that been corrected? I think maybe that's been corrected. The last bill on the agenda for today is House File 3966, authored by Representative Hassan. The chair moves that House File 3966 be laid over. Representative Hassan, before you begin with your bill presentation, you do have an amendment to your bill. Would you like to move the DE1 amendment first?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Hassan moves the DE1 amendment. Can you speak briefly to the amendment?
The amendment is, it's a delete all amendment. It just puts the bill in the shape that we would like it to be and also to align it with the Senate bill that's also carried by Senator Durham.
Any questions or clarifying comments about the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hassan, please proceed with your bill presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the opportunity to present House File 3966, an act relating to housing, home ownership investment grant program established, first time home buyer down payment assistance fund established, manufactured home revolving fund established, reports required and money appropriated. Minnesota has one of the highest rates of home ownership in the nation, but also one of the largest disparities in home ownership between whites and BIPOC households. Apart from the historic, systemic and institutional factors that have contributed to that disparity, it's also amplified by the fact that we simply do not have enough homes on the market to provide adequate, affordable ownership opportunities. When we have 27,000 families across the state who can afford home ownership but continue to rent on our most affordable housing stock and one of the worst racial home ownership disparities in the country, we know it's beyond time to stop the hand-wringing and scale up the strategies that work. House File 3966 just does that with an emphasis on producing additional entry-level inventory. This bill mirrors Senator Durham's Senate File 3677 with the delete all amendment to make few changes, including funding the Family Stabilization Program, which is aimed specifically at addressing the Black home ownership gap, funding a production acceleration program that helps BIPOC and its smaller organizations scale up their efforts, and eliminates the use of ARPA funds. And the governor's draft budget, the Senate version of the bill, and this bill all align in increasing our investment into the workforce and affordable home ownership program. With that, Madam Chair, I have a couple testifiers to explain more of this need, and we'll stand for questions.
Thank you for presenting the bill. Our first testifier is Patrice Williams, the financial coaching and home ownership manager from Project for Pride in Living. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. My name is Catrice Williams. I am, as Chair Hausman explained, the financial coaching and homeownership manager at Project for Pride and Living. Project for Pride and Living is an organization that is a part of the Homeownership Minnesota Coalition. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you on behalf of this very important issue that affects thousands of Minnesotans. And I would just like to implore or impress upon you the importance of supporting this bill. Here at PPL, we do the very important work of helping low to moderate income families become mortgage ready. We do so through housing counseling, budget creation, credit building, and support in the homeownership process up to and through homeownership. And while we have experienced great positive momentum in the area of getting our participants mortgage ready, there is just not enough inventory for buyers in that entry level price range. We have on record more than 20,000 BIPOC households in the state of Minnesota who are mortgage affordable. And the work that we do here at PPL lifts those buyers up, but unfortunately there are just not enough houses in the affordable price range for them to make homeownership a possibility. We need a multi-pronged approach, but we'll never close that racial homeownership gap if we don't address the inventory issue. Down payment assistance is very important, and so are all of the lending tools that we have to make the homeownership dream come true for a lot of Americans, for a lot of Minnesotans. But again, we will not make this happen for them if we don't address the inventory issue. Thank you for your time. Next, you'll hear from my colleague, Kathy Wenzel-Mastel, who is the executive director at PRG.
We are joined by Kathy Wenzel-Mastel from PRG. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Hausman, and thank you, Representative Hassan, for your leadership on this bill. I'm Kathy Wenzel-Mastel. I'm the executive director of PRG. I'm also the co-chair of the Homeownership Minnesota Coalition. That coalition is made up of 16 members from across the state, representing every single county in the state of Minnesota. As members of this committee know, we have a lot of work to do to address the dismal racial homeownership gap in the state and in solving the affordable housing crisis. House File 3966 contains a variety of tools to do both. We know that it will take efforts focused on the preparation of home buyers, the production of new affordable units for homeownership, and the preservation of existing homeowners to truly make a difference. Members of the coalition know what works to close the racial homeownership gap. What we also know is that we have to bring those efforts to scale. This bill will do that. Some of the programs included in this bill, including the $120 million in the Homeownership Investment Grant Program, is one-time funding administered by community development financial institutions that addresses needs not currently being met through existing programs. Many of you are aware of how effective CDFIs, or community development financial institutions, were at deploying federal resources and state resources following the unrest after George Floyd's murder. We also saw how effective they were in reaching small businesses of color during the pandemic. CDFIs in the affordable home ownership space are an underutilized resource, and they can be really helpful in meeting our goals around the racial homeownership disparity and addressing the affordable housing crisis. For the record, PRG is not a CDFI. We don't plan to become one. These programs include down payment and financing for manufactured home buyers, low and no cost interim financing for the development of ownership units, a production acceleration fund to build the capacity of nonprofit developers, since we know the private market isn't able or willing to create entry-level inventory. Also included are target mortgages for BIPOC buyers with more flexible underwriting standards, credit building products for would-be buyers to create or improve their credit profile, and a strategic fund aimed at disrupting the institutional investor activity in the single family and manufactured housing space. This is similar to the governor's proposed community stabilization fund. Today's rapidly changing environment, whether we're talking about construction costs or investor activity, call for flexible and rapid responses. CDFIs can play that role in a way that government agencies cannot. Taken together, these funds and strategies have the potential to revolve over time and serve as an incubator for creative solutions in addressing both the disparity and the affordable housing continuum. House File 3966 also supports the Family Stabilization Plan administered by Home Member Build Wealth Minnesota. This is a critical program in addressing the Black homeownership gap specifically. Finally, as mentioned previously, the bill includes $45 million in one-time funding and an increase of $15 million to the base for the Workforce and Affordable Homeownership Program. The focus of this funding is exclusively around ownership production. And I want to emphasize what Patrice said. The lack of inventory has now become the biggest barrier for low and moderate income and BIPOC buyers. We know that this inventory is at a historic low. We all know that. I think one of the things that's not understood is that the private market just can't address it. The numbers just don't work. Trimming 5% from construction costs are not going to solve the problem. And so that means we're going to continue to see the private development community focus on higher end housing. And we know that that housing won't serve the needs of the communities that we serve. We know that the state needs more than 60,000 units that are affordable at less than 30% AMI. And we also know that we have 27,000 of these units in existence today that are occupied by families who are income qualified to own their own homes. Many people who care about the racial homeownership disparity also care about deeply affordable housing. And it is ridiculous, in my opinion, that we don't have strategies in place to move some of those families into homeownership, thereby freeing up those desperately needed, most affordable units. Over the past 5 years, state funding has supported the development of approximately 100 units per year across the entire state. Due to additional funding as the result of the last legislative session, that number increased to 140 units. That number is still woefully inadequate given this fact of 27,000 existing units at 30% AMI that are occupied by families who could afford homeownership. We should be aiming much higher. I think we should have a 10-year plan to create 27,000 units, but I'd be happy with starting at 500 units a year. The Home Coalition looks forward to working with the commissioner and agency staff to develop program guidelines and procedures that will allow us to deploy these funds quickly. So thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Hassan, for your leadership. And I'm going to pass it off to my colleague, Jeff Washburn.
So we're joined now by Jeff Washburn, City of Lakes Community Land Trust and Minnesota Land Trust Coalition. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Osman, members for the opportunity to speak. Thank you as well, Representative Hassan, for authoring this House file. My name is Jeff Washburn. I'm the Executive Director with the City of Lakes Community Land Trust, We are the community land trust that serves the city of Minneapolis. As mentioned as well, I currently serve as the chair of the Minnesota Community Land Trust Coalition, and we are also all members of the Home Coalition that Kathy had mentioned. The Minnesota CLT Coalition is a coalition of 12 community land trusts that serve the majority of the state's geography. And collectively, over the life of our organizations, we've now created and preserved over 1,250 permanently affordable home ownership opportunities across the state of Minnesota. And I think that's a pretty powerful number given the numbers that Kathy had just mentioned. But I think perhaps even more importantly is that in addition to the 1,200 community land trust homes across the state that are held in trust, there have also been close to 650 resales. And within the community land trust world, those resales are so critically important because we've been able to create and maintain permanently affordable homes, most of those funded with state of Minnesota dollars. And on those resales, we're not coming back to the state to ask for additional dollars to keep those homes permanently affordable, yet we're able to serve multiple generations of low-income home buyers achieve home ownership here in the state. Within that coalition as well, there are a number of new members who are just starting community land trusts. So these dollars that we're seeking, I think, would be incredibly helpful to helping them build their capacity in serving the state. Ironically, while my organization sits in the city of Minneapolis, I'm here to really talk a little about some of the challenges that Greater Minnesota is facing. As mentioned, the Home Coalition has members across the state, every county, which include community action programs, the community land trust that I mentioned, 24 Habitat for Humanity affiliates, and other community developers all working to solve this affordable housing crisis that we're facing here in the state. Those organizations, our organizations, serve households of color at a rate of 2 to 6 times that of the local household of color population. So we're slowly making a dent. I think the biggest challenge to us is creating more of those opportunities for folks to get into home ownership. If we're able to whittle away at that number, we will see some progress. Additionally, I think it's worth noting that organizations, and I'll just call out the City Lakes Community Land Trust, we serve households on average at 51% of area median income. And working with households that but for an opportunity like the Community Land Trust are really going to be hard pressed to get into home ownership, and creating a bridge from affordable rental to home ownership, I think increasingly is going to require, I think, some creative affordable housing strategies to help folks make that bridge. Affordable rental projects are tough in Greater Minnesota. I've heard this from multiple colleagues over the years, that to build a 30 or 40 or larger rental project is just tough to do in a lot of smaller communities, but to knock off and create affordable home ownership opportunities that work within, I think, a smaller scale do start to make a difference in those Greater Minnesota cities and counties. And I think that what we're bringing to the table is an opportunity to serve the whole state, not just the metro, creating ownership across the state of Minnesota. I've been listening to some of the testimonies over the last few weeks, and there's been kind of a call out questioning the capacity of affordable home ownership providers. And I'm here to say that, you know, I feel comfortable knowing that if more funding were available to our organization, we, with our current staffing capacity, could serve at least 50% more folks. And with that added capacity, we could start adding more staff to really start to create affordable home ownership. The only thing holding us back is the funding commitments that we can take out and leverage with additional dollars to create more affordable home ownership. And I truly believe that a leadership position from the state of Minnesota would create additional opportunities for all our organizations to do more in our communities and start to create more affordable housing in the state. And in the case of the Community Land Trust, not only create, but also preserve permanently affordable home ownership opportunities here in the state. I want to thank you for the opportunity, and I believe we're all available to answer any questions. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Members, questions for the testifiers or the bill author? Give just a few minutes for the raise hands function. I'm not seeing any hands. You've obviously also done a very good job of telling the story. Mr. Wirth, I'm not missing anyone, right?
No, Madam Chair.
Representative Hassan, final comments on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I want to thank my testifiers for, as you can see, they have done a great job of painting the picture and the need for this bill. As we know, home ownership is about wealth creation, it's about neighborhood stabilization, and it's about equity. And I candidly ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. House File 3966, as amended, is laid over. And I don't see any other comments around the table. So I have to say to the bill authors and the testifiers and all of the members, you are certainly a very efficient group moving us through three bills as quickly as we did this morning. So thanks for all of that. Our next meeting will be on Thursday, March 24. There being no other business before the committee, we are adjourned.